Welcome back to Brief and Not So Brief. I'm Seth.
I'm Ethan.
And this time we're going to be talking about John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum. Apologies for the extra echoes this time. We got kicked out of our normal podcast recording room, and so we're recording in the dining room, which is a lot of hard surfaces. So hopefully it's not too obnoxious. But yeah. We saw Parabellum on Friday, and we're recording this on Sunday. So still pretty fresh thoughts from us. We've only seen it one time.
Yeah, we only talked about it a little bit. We kind of had some initial thoughts and then compared it to the other ones. And so,
yeah, this will be our therapy session.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's start off with just the, did you like it or not like it? You know, positive or negative?
I enjoyed it.
I also enjoyed it. So we'll get to probably, maybe we should rank the three, you know, where we think.
At the end or?
Yeah. The movie has done quite well this weekend. It already made its budget back.
I saw a thing that said it was going to basically stop Avengers from making its money that's been making for the last couple weeks. Not stop it, but like significantly
slow down its momentum.
Yeah, slow down its momentum. It was like $29 million for Avengers to $59 million for John Wick. So that's kind of cool to see. I mean, you don't think of a, you know, just simple action thriller beating out a big, you know, movie like Avengers very often, so that's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, that thing you were talking about was about how it's not going to, how Avengers is not going to unseat Avatar.
Well,
right?
I mean, they're getting there, but it just depends on how much more it slows down, so we'll see.
Well, that is all about the rewatchability, right? People didn't go back to Avatar again and again just because there was nothing else playing, right? Yeah. They went back because the experience of the world that they liked, right?
Yeah.
Which, it's interesting looking back on that, because I think you've only seen part of that movie.
I haven't seen the whole thing.
I bought a 3D Blu-ray of it, and we have a 3D capable TV.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, sometime maybe we'll get back to that. But we're talking about John Wick.
Yeah, back to John Wick.
Yeah. Pretty well received also by audiences and critics. It's 88 and 92 for audiences.
That's pretty consistent with the rest of the trilogy's been. It's been like mid-80s to low 90s, depending on if you're audience or critic. And so, it's been pretty consistent, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. So where do we want to start? I mean, we're going to go full spoilers here, folks. We already told you we liked it. If you like the other John Wick movies, you'll like this one. Mm-hmm. That's, I guess, where I would come down.
Yeah. But I mean, the only thing to really get into with spoilers is just, I think this movie, it has done really well about, or this trilogy has done well about expanding the universe, expanding what it's done well over the three movies, which in some cases can be a little bit nerve-wracking because you're like, oh, how can they do this better when they already did so good in the first and second? So after seeing the first one, you know, not many cuts, long takes, and you're like, hey,
wide shots.
Yeah, wide shots. We haven't seen this for a while. Second one does it even more extreme, and this one, it still does that, but there's just some other stuff that even if it's, you know, short takes, it's just hilarious what they've done with, you know, this movie has a lot more martial arts.
Yes.
It has a lot more kind of beat up John Wick has to fight. And so he's not always he's not always kicking butt. Mm-hmm. He's getting his butt kicked more often than not, which I think in the first movie, almost none. Second movie, some, because he had some competition in this one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of it because it just, he's, you know, he's
wearing
old.
Right. Yeah.
He only had
a couple
hour.
Of the characters actually say that, right?
Yeah.
He's tired.
Yeah. And, but then they're like, but he's still John Wick.
Yeah.
And so I was pretty entertained by it just because, you know, it brought some new stuff to the table that I did not expect. And there were multiple moments where the whole theater just started laughing because of how absurd and like insane some of the stuff that they were doing was. So it was fun.
So yeah, it is rated R. It's a hard R for violence, right?
Yeah. Especially this one.
Yes. Not a ton of language in it, kind of consistent with the other ones. This one doesn't even have the kind of fleeting shadowed nudity that that John Wick 2 did, which I don't think that really counts. But in this one, it's just like it's a very clean movie, except for it's very, very violent.
I mean, right off the bat, it starts with him running from the second movie, which ended with. Mm-hmm. And it's at night, he's getting rained on with his dog. And I like how they took care of, all right, the dog's going to the Continental, he's safe. I'm like, all right, the dog's safe, we're good. And so he gets in a taxi and he basically says, hey, you know, take him to the Continental, gives him the John Wick money, I'll call it. And he's like, cool. Takes care of the dog and then goes into this doctor who we saw in the first.
Did we?
I watched a scene recently.
Oh, gotcha.
He was in the first one, but he kind of gets fixed up and he fixes him a couple seconds past the 1 hour that was given.
No, he stopped right at the... He handed it to John.
Yes, and then he told him where some pills were.
Right.
And so he's like, hey, I technically helped you, so you need to make it look like you forced me to. So he's like, hey, just shoot me right below the float, and just shoots him. And then he's like, you got to do one more. Pulls out his shirt, shoots him right below.
Yeah, try not to hit me. Bang, you know.
Yeah, and so the theme of this is pretty much, I'm going to help John Wick, but get punished for it in the process of it, which is why they bring in kind of a interesting role of a character, which I was okay with.
The adjudicator.
Yeah, the adjudicator. But that wasn't the main, I'd say, gripe I had. I thought it was interesting, but it's definitely not as, I would say it's action heavy, but like the first and second one, there's very little downtime in those, at least from what I remember. The first one, it gets a little bit, takes a little bit to get started, but for once it hits the action, it pretty much goes the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
This one, there's like action, a little bit of time to basically...
To breathe.
Yeah. To breathe, but then also a setup like, hey, he is so desperate. He has these three resources that he can use, technically, not legally, but he has the people who he's doing the deal with have to do it out of the deal that was already made in the past. So there's this like, there's a cross that he has to bring to his.
Yeah, like a crucifix.
And
that he brings to his Belarusian people. Angelica Houston.
You learn, his full name, his actual name.
Do we know that's his actual name? I think it was his name when he was with those people. I think he trained with them.
Yeah, a different name than what we've had, which isn't that surprising.
I really like that scene.
Well, you can kind of see how he's in complete despair.
Yeah, so. And I mean, so Keanu gets justly maligned for his lackluster acting sometimes. Mm-hmm. When he's in his lane, I think he's really good. And I feel like that scene between him and Angelica Houston is really, really good. Mm-hmm. When he's basically saying, you owe me, you know, you have to do this. And of course, she gets punished later for that.
Yeah. Which, compared to everyone else, not bad. We'll get to that later.
True, yeah. So there's a number of action scenes spaced out with some downtime, right? You get the downtime when he meets Sophia.
Those action scenes are the best action.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not the best. I personally have a couple other favorites, but the most intense, bloody, long, insane fights. They don't have as much emotional weight because you're like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way he's dying because of multiple reasons. One, he either got a person with him or they're purposely going easy on him. So. Yeah.
So maybe we should kind of talk through the quote plot, because you know a John Wick movie isn't really about the story so much as it is about the action, and so the plot is pretty simple. So I kind of want to go through and talk about the action scenes as they came.
Yeah.
So the first major one is it's when he's running away, right? Mm-hmm. He gets stitched up. No, that's right. Mm-hmm. The first one is he essentially gets caught trying to get out of New York, and
by finds this 7'2" probably guy.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
No, well, I don't know because Keanu isn't super tall, so I don't know how tall this guy is.
He's your height. He's like 6'2".
Oh, he is? Okay. Then this guy is huge.
Yes. Yeah, he's an NBA player.
So he's like skinny, but super tall. Comes in when he's in a library, and John has this book checked out that has some like last minute
resources. It's got some money in it. It's got a marker. It's got that crucifix.
Yeah. And so those are like his last resources, and he has a picture of his wife. And so the guy comes in and basically is like, hey, you know, no one's going to know the difference in a couple of minutes. If I kill you now, they're not going to know the difference. So he tries to kill him. And so there's this elaborate scene where they fight each other with books.
Right.
And then at the end, he finally gets the upper hand because he's kind of getting kicked a little bit at that point. He gets him up against a bookshelf and like shoves the book into his mouth and shoves the book further and further, and it like breaks his jaw, but then takes him, puts on the table, puts his neck over the book, and then snaps his neck over the book. Yeah. And the whole crowd was just like, whoa.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that one. So then he runs from there and he gets chased down by these Asian guys.
Yeah. Right?
And they chase him into a museum.
Oh, goodness.
And they end up, you know, in the middle of a fight in amongst a bunch of ancient weapons.
Or
historical weapons.
Yeah. And so there's like some old guns that he tries to stitch together, one gun.
Right.
Which is cool because there's one scene where it's uncut and he's putting together weapons. And you can tell he's actually doing that, which is kind of interesting just because like he knows his stuff because of his acting.
Yeah.
But then there's one room where there's a ton of mirrors and you can tell, oh, some mirrors are going to get broken. But then... At one scene, they both realize there's a ton of knives mm-hmm. behind him. So they each grab knives, start using those.
Yeah.
But then John starts to throw them, and he throws all the knives.
Yes.
There ends up being like 12 knives in one guy. Mm-hmm. It is insane.
Yeah. And that's where there's the most kind of gruesome kill in there, where he stabs the guy through the eye and it's very slow.
You think that he's going to pull it away, like the camera's going to pull it away.
It does not.
Does not. That's the most gruesome thing I've seen in that John Wick movie, probably.
Okay. So the library scene had its moments. I didn't love it because there was a lot of it kind of obscured by the bookshelves and stuff, which I think is probably because the other guy is not an action star. Right. Yeah. But it was cool the way it ended. This one, I think, was my favorite of the endings? Of the movie. The one in the museum.
Oh,
I thought that was my favorite. And so for me, if I have a negative, like, that was the high point in terms of the action for me. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it was just kind of, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But that was awesome.
I mean, the final picks up the axe and just hurls it at the guy.
Across the room.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Yep. So that's what leads him to go to the doctor. He gets stitched up. He comes out of there. And I can't remember. Oh, then he goes to Angelica Houston, right? And gets passage to Casablanca.
Yeah, where he goes to see another Continental, which he goes to that one because he knows Sophia, who is Halle Berry's character.
Right.
And she has the deal that he had with Santino.
Yeah, he had a marker that he evidently used to get her daughter out of trouble or something, and out of the picture. Mm-hmm. And there's a good scene between them where when he asks, you know, do you want to know where she is? And she's like, no, I can't know where she is.
Because if I do know, then I will want to go find her, even though I know I can't.
Yeah. And so he wants from her to essentially meet up with, he wants to meet with the High Table and see if he can get the contract out on him overturned. In case anybody didn't know, there's a $14 million hit on him, and he's excommunicado.
Goes up to 15 at some point.
And so she takes him to Braum from Game of Thrones, and I can't remember all the details about what happens, but essentially he shoots her dog.
And she's like, that's not okay. She has like two German shepherds, and
fortunately they're wearing vests.
Yes, they have like doggy armor. She has her weapons in the vest. And then she kind of gives him this look, and that's when you know,
it's on.
Stuff's about to go down. And so then she whips out a pistol and starts shooting people. So John's like, well, I got to start shooting people too.
Yeah, yeah. And then she's like, he shot my dog. And John's like, I get it.
Yeah.
So then this scene just reminded me of, I used to play this game Hitman 2, Silent Assassin. And ideally, you know, to get the best rating on the level, you take out your target without anybody ever raising any alarms or suspicions. But sometimes it was just fun to go in there and just grease everybody. And that is what this next scene felt like, where he and Halle Berry try and get out of this place where the guy was. And it's a long, very good action scene with lots of long takes in it. Halle Berry does really good work with the weapons work and the martial arts. I thought she was really, really up to it.
I didn't know if she was going to be a like huge role where she's in it with him for the rest of the movie. I really liked, my favorite aspect is that she was in it for this very short time to help John. And because I know some people are worried about like, oh, but I don't want someone to be like as good or better than John for the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's like she's in this part and she probably gets more screen time for that part just because it's her only part. I didn't complain though, because the stuff she does is insane and it's on par with what John does or Keanu does for John in the whole rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed that whole part. It was a little long.
It was definitely long.
There's a lot of crotch biting by the dogs.
Yes.
Like there's a couple times where you're like, okay, that's definitely a bite.
CG dog,
and there's a couple where it was just, all the way in and it looked very painful.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was good use of the dogs. Probably computer generated dogs.
It was, I'm under the impression that it was like the dogs were definitely in there, but when they had to do the attacks, they had to do some sort of
CGI. I just remembered the other scene that we didn't talk about was the horse. When they go into the stable, and it was like Jackie Chan level use of your surroundings by getting a horse to kick his enemies. And then there's the chase with him on the horse and the guys on the motorcycles.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And it was short. So I appreciate that.
The stable was the most comedic fight scene.
Yes.
Because he goes in there.
Yeah, that's why I said Jackie Chan.
Yeah. And he goes in there and there's a guy behind him. And so he recognizes, oh, I could do this. And, you know, kind of kicks it. Boom. One shot. Dead.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, so back to the the guy in Casablanca, he gave him the information on how to find the person who was over the head table, right? Mm-hmm. Over the table. You know, telling him to go to the desert and go until you can't go any more, and then go farther.
Yeah.
So Halle Berry drops him off with very little water, and he gets picked up by some Bedouins, mm-hmm. apparently, who take him to the second kind of space to breathe in the thing, where he meets the guy from the high table. And I have no idea who he is. And this is one of the things I like about this movie, is that I didn't think there was much more world building they could do, mm-hmm. but they managed to do it.
Yeah.
And so it was, that was pretty cool. And essentially he makes a deal to come back as John Wick, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of completing that. Yeah. I'm thinking I'm back from the first one. Well, now he is officially back.
Yeah. He basically said, you come back and you work for the high table forever, mm-hmm. or you try to keep run and you're going to die.
No, or you die here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought it was very sweet that he asked him, you know, essentially, why do you want to keep running? Why do you want to live? Mm-hmm. And he says, to remember her. And that's, you know, that's a nice notion.
Remember his wife, yeah. And so he has to, kind of as a symbol of letting go of his past and moving on forward as John Wick, while still remembering her, has to cut off his wedding ring finger.
Yeah.
And, you know, the finger's there on the table. Mm-hmm. And, it was interesting just because there was a, you know, the knife and the
like
hammer.
A chisel, yeah.
Yeah, supplied. And you're like, oh, he's going to take his time. He just takes it and immediately just slams it.
Yeah.
And it looks very painful.
Yeah.
And so takes care of that and then goes back, and his instructions were to kill Winston, which is a little, mm-hmm. he's just like, come on, you know, I love mm-hmm. Winston. And so he has to do that, but then gets back, and before then, The New York City Continental has been like disavowed. So it's no longer a Continental
because deconsecrated.
Because Winston didn't stop John before mm-hmm. he killed Santino. So in their minds, like, okay, it's partially your fault. So your Continental's going to be shut down. So he gets back.
And also, you're dead in a week.
Yes.
You know, choose your successor.
Mm-hmm. And so John gets back there, and the adjudicator gets there too, and basically says, you know, would you like to give up your status for someone else to take over? And he says, no. Mm-hmm. And then she asks John, like, are you going to kill him? And he says, no. And so at that point, the Continental becomes no longer the Continental, which mm-hmm. means John is allowed to go get all the weapons he wants mm-hmm. with the secretary, who's like my favorite character.
Yes.
He's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. What is his name? He's the guy, the commander guy from Fringe.
Yes. And Cedric, so... And so he, the staff, the secretary, and Winston go into this safe area with all these weapons. And Winston sits in there with the dogs, you know, drinks his alcohol just because he knows he's got nothing to worry about.
Right.
And so the adjudicator sends this task force to go in and mop out Winston and John Wick and those guys.
Lance Reddick, not Cedric. I don't know who I was thinking of. You skipped over a little bit because the adjudicator had also been going to visit everybody who helped John.
Right.
And so the Angelica Houston got stabbed through the hands. That wasn't so bad. By the chairman from Iron Chef America, mm-hmm. Mark Dacascos. And Lawrence Fishburne was subjected to...
Seven cuts,
yes. And the Bowery.
You right? think he's dead.
Right. Yeah.
Which comes back
and,
later.
And they took out all his people. Right.
Yeah.
So Mark Dacascos is this, I'm not even sure what his name is in the movie, but you know, he's elite level and he's got his students that are executing people.
Yeah.
And so yeah. Then we get to the final,
We should talk about that.
We get to kind of my least favorite action scene, which was the motorcycle ninjas. That fight just kind of, it went on for quite a while, and I didn't find it very interesting. Partially because, you know, if you kick somebody on a motorcycle, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, and you're probably going to fall down. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that, I'm like, eh. And it was, to me, it was like standard action movie stuff. It had no place in a John Wick movie. Mm-hmm. So, but that's okay.
Yeah, so that leads to... them getting to...
Right, that leads to the scene where, are you going to kill...
Yes, which I mentioned earlier. And so that leads to that, and then the big...
We're going to send some people here.
Yes, and so there's this like big two charter buses full of elite kind of look like SWAT teams, basically. Right. And you don't know this until the scene starts, but they have bulletproof armor pretty much everywhere. Hmm. And so it makes it interesting because it's no longer, I can shoot you in the chest and shoot you in the head for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's, I have to shoot you four times to kind of make you...
To knock you down.
And then have to go under and shoot you under your helmet.
Right.
And so he goes out there with... They have this load-up scene where he has, mm-hmm. like, 12 magazines,
right.
a pistol, a assault rifle, and mm-hmm. it's not really getting the job done. And then right. he comes in, he's like, need more. Or what does he say? He's firepower.
Well, he comes back and he's like, armor improvements, you think? You know, because the guy's name is Karen,
the secretary.
The ferryman on the River Styx in mythology.
Oh.
Yeah, he loads him up with the shotgun with the armor piercing slugs, right?
Slugs, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets mm-hmm. pretty much like usual John Wick, one shot, done. And so they eventually mop them all out. And the ending is actually my least favorite part.
Okay.
I was talking to you about it earlier. It's like I come to a John Wick movie for lots of guns, a little bit of judo, some hand-to-hand stuff. Mm-hmm. But that is a in between, I need to get the gun. In between that, I'm going to make sure I hand-to-hand you and get the gun. This is like, there's no gun. Mm-hmm. He's just doing hand-to-hand stuff with his belt, which granted is cool, and some swords.
Yeah.
And so there's this like boss fight level where there's three floors. There's a floor of students, a floor of students, and the chairman. Mm. And so the bottom floor, he goes in and he's pretty much dead tired at this point. And the students throw him around into glass for like 9 times I counted it, which got me a little angry. I was like, come on, 9 times? That is so boring. And so.
Well, and then, you know, they could kill him, but mm-hmm. but their boss has basically said, no sword but mine.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, it's an honor to fight you, Mr. Wick.
Yeah.
Let us help you back up. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, he eventually, it's interesting. The thing that I liked about that was the difference in styles between these little guys mm-hmm. and John Wick, who's like your size, right? Mm-hmm. And it. Keanu's a bit beefier than you are, being 50-something years old. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's all muscle. It's not anymore. But it's just kind of different where starts to use his size as an advantage by getting him close. Mm-hmm. And that's when he can kind of make gains on them.
Yeah.
So then he has this fight with Mark Dacascos. And we should mention, there's a strong comedic element here with him because he's a total John Wick fanboy. Mm-hmm. And he starts off like preparing sushi. And like he's preparing fugu, the blowfish mm-hmm. that's very toxic if you do prepare it wrong. And doing this kind of Japanese accent, sort of like he does on Iron Chef America. And then the rest of the time, he's just a dude bro, right? Mm-hmm. Who with just a total flat American accent.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny. And most of the humor beats, I think, worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the very end, he eventually gets a sword driven through his chest. And he's like, that was pretty awesome fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did like that.
And so then the whole point that the chairman has been trying to make is like, you know, we're the same. I'm on your level. And mm-hmm. John's whole thing is like, no, you're not. Yeah. And so he beats him. And then the guy's like, you know, I'll eventually.
Yeah, just need to catch my breath.
Yeah. And he's like, no, you won't. And so then he falls over and dies. But
presumably.
It's a different atmosphere because it's more respect than it is business for mm-hmm. them. Because the first two, like, even though those first two fights he has, he doesn't kill them. Well, he pretty badly, supposedly they don't die.
He defeated them.
But he defeated them, and he says, like, oh, we'll be seeing each other again, is what he says. And so he's like, respect them for respecting them for respecting him kind of thing.
Right.
And so up until that point, all the action is kind of like, get out of my way, I got to save myself. And then this was more kind of just respect.
Yeah, so I will be curious because, you know, this sets up now, this is not the war.
Well, this was pretty much, when I think about it, like the origin story, because it's this guy who basically goes on this quest, does his quest, defeats the people he wants to defeat, and then gets back into the game, but then someone pisses him off again. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of, it's almost like if you look at those, you know, high school chart maps with like the exposition, the rise in action, the climax, and you know, all right. this. It's like this was the exposition through John Wick 1 and 2, and this was at the top of the rising action, because it ends with him, with Lawrence Fishburne very badly injured, and he's like, I'm pissed.
Right.
How about you? And he looks up, he's like, yeah. And it ends right there.
Yeah.
And so it gives you this kind of feeling of like, he did what he needed to, there was these awesome three movies, but you kind of get this feeling of like, this is just the tip of the iceberg kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I thought this was going to be the end of the trilogy, which I would have been okay with, because I felt like it would have really worked well.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does as well as it's been doing, if it upgrades the stuff, or even if it just goes back to the original stuff that it did in the first and second movie, then I feel like this will still continue to be a successful trilogy.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I'm just a few years younger than Keanu, right? I mean, he's probably got me by what?
Eight years,
something like that. He's in his low 50s. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching him and I'm like, all of this just looks like it hurts really bad, you know, like for the actor, let alone the actual character, right? He gets hit by a couple cars again, you know, he gets bruised and battered and stabbed and all this stuff. I'm like, if they're going to do another movie, just say like a year later, so we know he's recovered. Mm-hmm. because I'm like, he can't, they mention in this movie that basically the events of the first two films took place over about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And or, you know, a week or two. The second film was over a week, right? Mm-hmm. He's got to be able to travel to Italy and back. So, but yeah, I like the fact that they were still able to keep building the world out and doing awesome things. I felt like it could have been tightened up a little bit. Maybe there could have been a little more story and a little less action in places. And I don't think I really felt that way in like John Wick 2, except for maybe that museum fight in that one where it's like, okay, he's going to get that guy to the ground, disable him, and shoot him in the head while shooting other people again. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, so we go through and rank the others in comparison to this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you've only seen all the movies once, right? But you've seen scenes from them because
sometimes I just like rewatching some of the scenes. Yeah, I think I only see them each once, and I've actually seen them with pretty much within each other, kind of a year apart, because I remember two Christmases ago or something, we watched the first one, and then the second one I had never really got around to. I hadn't seen the theater.
Right.
And then we watched it, and so this is the first John Wick movie I saw in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if I'm being honest, it's not that this is a weak film, but I just think it was a little bit different than the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm going to go with a little bit of a different opinion, because all the people I've talked to about John Wick, they say their first one's a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed, like, just for the one and two, when they came out, they're like, I like the first one a lot more.
Yeah.
I actually like the second one a little bit more than the first and then the third. And that's not because the third is somehow way weaker. Like, for me, it's a 10, a 9, and a 9, pretty much.
Right.
It's kind of like that. Like, the two, a 1 and 3 are pretty much identical, but they have different things that I think they do better.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I think, is just a little bit superior. And so if I had to watch one again, I would watch the second one.
Yeah.
And so I think you feel similarly.
I do. Yeah. I think I talked about this on our Old Man Action Movie one, where I think I like the second one better just because I like the fact that the antagonist is on John's level.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about this also. It's like, he's on his level at the same thing.
Right.
And it's, in this one, it's more, I'm on the same level in something that's not necessarily he's most well known for. I mean, he's good at it, but like John Wick, you know him for guns, a little bit of martial arts. Mm-hmm. But in this, it's like the chairman's stuff is his martial arts.
Right.
And his swords. And so I liked the action definitely in the second one better, just because I felt like it was kind of like I mentioned the Black Panther situation where they're the basically identical person.
Right. Same on same.
Same on same. Well, you could kind of go something like, you know, I don't know if two other villains I can't think of right now, but have a little bit different.
Right. Batman and the Joker. Right?
Yeah. You know, it's a little bit different. And so that's why I prefer the second one, just because it was more action, more of the stuff that's familiar to me with John Wick.
I like, the thing that I really like about the second one is some of the style of it, like the sommelier scene where it's not like a traditional loadout scene, because it's showing him getting his suit tailored, you know, with the lining in it, the tactical, you know, tactical, and talking to the sommelier and getting his guns all picked out. I think I agree with you that I'd go 2, 1, 3 in the ranking, but I haven't seen John Wick, the first one, in a while. So once this one's on home video, maybe we'll watch them all, and it's possible that it'll rearrange. But I still feel like 2 is going to be the high point for me.
Mm-hmm. So. I do. The thing that was similar from 1 to 2 for me is 1 and 2 had kind of a build up with some action, but then the big action was at this like musical concert or club, depending on the movie. This one, there wasn't. I'm not saying this is a bad thing, because I actually really like action when there's no music and it just has the pure sound effects, because I think that has a lot of value. But this one didn't have any scene kind of like those for those first two, which were kind of my favorite parts about the first two movies.
Yeah, the most similar to scene to that was the one in Casablanca with him and Halle Berry.
Yeah.
And it's an excellent scene. It's just a different style.
Yeah.
So anything else to say?
Nope, I don't think so.
Nope. So the next one of these we will do will probably be Brightburn. And it comes out next week, but we probably will not be able to see it next weekend. Well, yeah, you're going to be in Canada. So it'll be a couple weeks for that.
Yeah, we need to start doing more category-based reviews, because we've done a lot of just...
Just one movie?
Just one movie.
Yeah. We'll figure something else out. But in the meantime, I mean, it's the next thing up is going to be Brightburn.
Yeah, which... we'll see.
we will see.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, if you want to contact us, you can hit us up on Twitter at Brief Not So Brief, or you can go up to hugospodcast.com. That's where the website actually is, and there's a contact form there. So if you want to send us a note or something, you can. Cool. Yeah. Thanks for doing this, Ethan.
No problem.
And we'll talk to you next time. Bye.